Jason, are we around like part one breaking point or something? We've been going for a little while.
No. This is going to be, well, I'm actually going to talk about the end now. So I think we're going to get this in one, believe it or not. And there's going to be a hell of an After Dark. So,
all right.
So with the outtakes, I'm just sitting here going, I don't want to take that out, and I can take that out.
Well, Lisa somehow needs to squeeze in being able to tell me how wrong I am about Mutopia.
If I ever launch my 5x5 podcast, it's why you're wrong.
Why you're wrong.
Every week it'll be, this is why you're wrong.
It may just be you and me. Well, no. I'm sure they'll come. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's nice to talk to you.
Yes. I was thinking, when was the last time we were on a podcast together? Was it like when the iPhone was announced and I was on your podcast that you were recording?
It might have been, Mac Break Weekly at some kind of Mac World thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
This is way more fun.
Oh, well, yeah. There's no doubt. No doubt about that. It's already more fun.
Yeah. Last thing you need is a Mac podcast, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear those podcasts happen, those tech podcasts can happen accidentally now. You just trip over one and you're like, it's a Mac podcast.
Well, you know, I think it's the singularity. I think some people are just bound to have a podcast, you know? I mean, yeah. You know what I mean? That's their homeostasis.
It's inevitable that there will be a podcast.
I couldn't get into the car one because I'm not a car guy.
I'm not a car guy either. I don't. I listened to the one where they talked about bad UI, but that was about the tech in the cars, and I get frustrated by that too, about not being able to look at us. We just accidentally tripped into a tech podcast. It's the little the dials that let me send my set my little song dealy in my minivan that we have is just it's so terrible. It's like a parallel universe where Apple never happened, and except it's in our universe, and it's so bad. So I listened to that one, but all their other talk about like white Lexuses and things like that, I have no idea.
I know, yeah. We rented a car. We have a very old car, which I won't say it's a point of pride, but it's certainly a point of not having car payments. And we rented a car one time, and it was like if George Lucas wrote the interface for something. It was so bizarre, and it had that, used to say, the Apple thing. It was like the opposite of Apple. It was almost as though like different business units, like an Amazon detail page, like different business units had gotten to choose completely different and competing pieces of UI.
Yeah. I used I had a rental car in Phoenix one time, and it had one of those Microsoft Sync systems on it, and on the dashboard, it had I'm not kidding you, a numeric keypad on the dashboard. I took a picture of it. It looked like the control panel of the lunar module in the Apollo missions. Like,
what is Microsoft Sync?
You could enter it. It's their in-car entertainment system that they built for car makers to use. And this particular one, I guess you could put in like the radio station number and hit enter and it would go there or something. It was so terrible. And then its screen was this little like two-line text screen in like red on black, like a clock radio I had in the 80s. It was amazingly terrible. And then I was in another rental car where the climate controls and it had like separate controls for like climate and audio, but they were all in the same place, but they were different, but they had the same labels.
Oh,
so there's like turn on the radio.
Like, it seems convenient because it's this cockpit approach, right?
Right, but there's a power button. One of the power buttons works the air conditioner. The other turns on the radio, but they're both just power buttons.
Oh, that's so stupid.
It's really bad.
I wish they all just had USB chargers and, you know, audio out. You know, like a zip car. You know, I wish, you know what I mean? Like, you don't want to have to truck around one of those translators that goes from a, you know, a cigarette lighter. Isn't that funny that that's still around, the cigarette lighter interface?
Yeah, classic.
Oh my God, I overprepared.
Yeah.
I did too.
I'm underprepared.
I crammed. Well, no, this is the problem. I crammed for too many different tests because I'm terrified to be here, and I did read through the main 8 comic books several times, but now I'm so confused about so many things. Like, the more I thought about it, now I'm like, I have so many questions I'm not going to ask you guys, and I'm just going to nod along a lot.
You know, the really...
I think you should ask the questions, because this part of the fun of reading in the Marvel verse is actually having people articulate things like, wait a minute, there was a flash of giant white light that bore a remarkable resemblance to a Georgia O'Keeffe painting, and then everything went back to the way it was. Except it didn't.
Save it for the podcast.
Exactly. No way. Yeah. I see Andy Yanako being rung in.
Yeah, he demanded to be here.
Good.
Oh my gosh.
but he's going. He said he was just going up to his studio. So Merlin, this is your first time. I'll be gentle.
Do I have to go through the spanking machine?
Yeah, there is a hazing ritual. No, we record. So unlike the massive Dan Benjamin Confabulatron 8000, where it takes your voice and puts it through like another spatial dimension and it comes out in a podcast.
Right
here, everybody records their end and sends me the file using the
You're
Dropbox.
You're kidding. You do that? You do a like quadruple quintuple ender?
Yes. Oh, no. It's actually most of the time. In the last one I edited, Merlin, it was a septuple ender. Octuple ender.
Oh, because you were playing the D&D.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Merlin, the first time I did this, I had a similar reaction to yours. You know, it was like being an X-Man joining the Avengers momentarily.
Yeah, you're like Wolverine.
Permanent Spider-Man syndrome.
Listen, bub, I ain't used to this elevator and butler stuff, bub.
Yeah, I mean, can you just give me a key card? I just
tell me what to hit.
Tell me what to hit. Yeah, the horrible thing I did to myself was I said, okay, well, I'm gonna reread Disassembled, and then I'm gonna read House of M. But instead, I read House of M and then Avengers Disassembled. So I started getting a little confused there because I was going back in time.
I'm turning on the thing, by the way. We're on the thing now. Live on the thing. We're live on the thing. Continue.
I reread part of Civil War. I recently reread all of Planet Hulk, World War Hulk, and After Smash because I was going to have Greg Pak on Giant Size. And then I read the Messiah trilogy. One part of it in Spanish for reasons I won't get into. And then I reread Schism and skimmed AVX. And then I started reading Secret Invasion, which I'm about halfway through. And now I'm 7,000 kinds of confused.
Secret Invasion is just such hogwash.
Nothing will make people angrier than reading lots of Marvel events all in a row.
The ad campaign for Secret Invasion is genius. I love the I love the propaganda posters that they did for it. The marketing was wonderful. The book itself was just pure hooey and continuity prone.
I would disagree that it's all hooey. It is a giant minefield of continuity aneurysms.
Mm-hmm.
But if anything, it fleshed out the Skrulls in a way that yes, it's basically just Skrull abuse, abusing what the Skrulls are, which is the wheel of fortune of villains. You know, what do we want them to be this week?
All right, I think everybody is here now.
Hello.
Oh, no.
Hello, Andy.
Hello, Jason. Hello, Merlin.
Hello, Andy. This is a lovely surprise.
It's been 17 ages since we've talked. I'm glad for this opportunity.
Goodness. Let's talk about the iPhone.
Okay. so
I think it's going to finally displace the BlackBerry in the hegemony pyramid of the hockey stick of disruption.
Excellent.
I agree. I think they're literally sucking all of the oxygen out of the vertical.
Honestly, I think BlackBerry's going to make a comeback. I was talking to Horace vis-a-vis their potability as a potential threat, and frankly, I think they're being discounted.
Eleanor Cliff,
too early.
Steve,
if only
Lutz,
I had a way to display a chart.
Steve Lutz in the chat room says it's not too late to cancel this episode and not have Merlin on.
Oh, it's going to be good.
So everybody needs to record their end. Merlin, do you know how to do that?
Yeah.
Do you have the call recorder, the QuickTime recorder?
Yep, it's running right now.
All right, great. And Lisa, just make sure that your input's set to your good microphone, but it sounds like it is.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yes.
Yes? Mm-hmm. And Moises, you know what to do. You've been through this before, too.
Far too often.
Moises. Chuyan. right?
Chuyan.
Chuyan. Chuyan. Moises Chuyan. I have to act. I will begin emphasizing the last syllable, and then I'll remember.
Only when you're speaking Cantonese and Spanish at the same time.
I know, but that with you, I have to do that. This is what I do for you.
That's okay. That's okay. Sometimes you just have to say an incantation and do a little bit of pronunciation yoga, and then everything's fine.
Okay, here we go. I don't know what it's. I don't know what's going to happen.
I smell a two or three parter.
No. Okay, here we go.
No more podcasts.
No more podcasts.
An 11-part miniseries. Which one's the one that wants to send his kids to death?
That's Lex.
That's Lex. Okay, yeah.
Lex kills his kids at the apocalypse. Syracusa welcomes Lex's kids into his magical castle up in a mountain in, well, we're off track already, and it's 1 minute in.
And I'm sorry to go Secret Invasion, but technically speaking, the Spider-Woman he's talking to is a Skrull.
No, that doesn't count because we don't know that for the sake of the story.
Right.
Things that have not happened yet should not be used against the characters now.
I came back in time from the year 2013. Sentinels are all over the place, and it is crazy.
That is.
Does Scott Summers have the crazy long hair like he does in Age of Apocalypse?
The days of podcast should. Past? Is that what we're
really
doing
like
now?
The best thing about Age of Apocalypse is the hair.
Wow, you guys are dropping facts that I know nothing about. House of M.
Yeah.
House of M.
No, see, this is where Marvel so consistently fails for me so often. This is not it's a classic idiot plot. None of this would happen if the people involved were not idiots. You have to basically concede
is it like the Gene Siskel principle?
Yeah,
Andy.
Yeah.
That's the idiot plot is a Roger Ebert invention.
Oh, okay. You're thinking of the fallacy of the talking mutant. That's a different thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, they would do this if Reed Richards is an idiot. Tony Stark, okay, he would come up with, let's just blast him into space and not worry about it later on. But none of these other people would ever do this in any of the books they've done for the past 30 to 40 years.
There is the plot continuity question, though, to me, of Hell's Kitchen and why those folks... I mean, obviously, Sam knows that they're down there. Oh, what? So we definitely know that Luke and his group killed the Kingpin, right? Because that's where Cloak knows to teleport to. Why did they kill the Kingpin?
I don't know.
I'm talking about? Because Falcon dude has to go down there and go talk to them. And he has his throwdown with Luke Cage. Again, black guy to black guy. Pretty interesting. And but it was because they were questioning him about...
The Kingpin was killed the day before.
Right.
And then Cloak ends up teleporting him to Kingpin's.
Because he knows it's
lair.
Empty.
Yeah.
Why did they kill him?
Because he was on their turf.
It's the Kingpin. Dog.
Oh, it's the Warriors all over again. The baseball Furies have been discriminated against for years now.
Oh, Kingpin.
Come on. Don't make the Kingpin.
Hey. I love you. God, I love you, Lisa. This is like a dream.
And it's a one-time-only dream, too. Isn't that the most beautiful part of it?
Oh, my God. You people, you're literally all dead to me.
What do you mean by you people?
No more incomparable.
No more.
I'm literally so angry right
literally
now.
Literally so.
See, I was doing Merlin there. That was my Merlin.
You've never heard anything I've done.
Merlin, he's trying to take your powers.
I've heard that.
Are you roguing me?
Merlin, I am. Merlin, I've heard everything you've done because you've got that podcast where you talk to that guy who's in that band.
Are you talking about the founder
Dan
of
Benjamin? No. You know,
I think
that's back to work with Dan
about
Benjamin.
The senator, a.k.a. superhero name Rust.
Huh.
I don't even know what word.
That's a super deep cut Roderick on the line.
I love the Roderick on the line.
Can we talk at some point about, is it interesting or boring to talk about? Because, I mean, so it's BMB, right? You love the guy. I've mentioned this before, but when my daughter and I, I'm literally ruining her with comics. But when we read comics and I'll go, we'll get to a page. It'll be a beautiful two-page spread where you can't see really any of the pictures because there are so many bubbles of people talking. Ellie, can you guess who wrote this? And she'll make this bok 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 thing with her fingers, with her hand, like a rah, 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 and say, Brian Michael Bendis.
Brian Michael Bendis.
You're raising her right, I would say.
Like like AVX, which I really, really enjoyed it. I bought them all in floppies. Like I own every conceivable. I got a signed copy by BMB, no big deal. But
hate you. Hold on, let me go get my pile of Greg Pak signed comics.
but you know, it is, I don't want to open a can of worms, but it does end rather abruptly. It's sort of that third act. Boy, Seth, we've talked about this, the problem with the third act in every movie over the last 40 years. And like, you know, everything we knew has kind of gotten less dramatically important. But the middle part is pretty great. And I find it so great. It's so revealing to me, like what everybody really, I don't know, I'm sorry I'm going on, but I think it's so interesting to me what people really did want. But it does make me wonder, like, why? Do you guys think Gambit wanted? And oh, by the way, did you catch his accomplice saying boyo?
Maybe Wanda was just being really, really spiteful.
Yeah.
You know, where she's like, I've never liked you, Gambit.
Nobody likes Gambit. Who likes Gambit?
No.
My husband does.
Oh,
I like Gambit. But I grew up with the X-Men animated series in the 90s.
Well, that's so why he loved that. Because that's like
Gambit and Jubilee.
Like that's like Phil's only exposure is through
Professor
the
X,
animated
Professor
series.
X sounds like a child molester in that one. It's
that
awful.
Is your quiz is like, do you think that Gambit and Jubilee are core members of the X-Men? If
I was
you
so
say
glad
yes,
when she got depowered. Oh my God, that was like
say
that's
Jubilee
like
Jubilee is.
No, that's like one of my favorite things about this is that Jubilee gets depowered.
She's like a steampunk My Little Pony. She just drives me completely crazy.
My little steampunk.
My little steampunk. Kind of,
well, you get the feeling that they were trying to invent the successor to Kitty Pryde with her, where they were like, okay, you know, the first generation, there was Jean Grey, who was pretty much your original ex-girl in the X-Men. And then they rolled out Kitty Pryde, and pretty much everybody in Generation X identified with her or has a soft spot for her or could relate to her or had a crush on her.
And then she moved to England and joined Excalibur. And they
oh, by the way, Nightcrawler has a sword.
And then they were like, okay, it's the 90s. We need to find somebody. And also it's the 90s.
It's the 90s.
America is no longer white and homogenous. So let's introduce some diversity. And
let's find a non-Jew.
All right, guys. Yeah. Guys, let's give somebody powers like Dazzler's, but have her not be a disco queen.
Yeah.
Could we make her Asian?
That was their first mistake.
Yeah. And let's have her pal up with Wolverine, because this man who is clearly over 100 years old and a grizzled battle veteran and normally in love with sexy, sophisticated women like Jean Grey loves hanging out with teenage girls because there's nothing hinky about
that
at all.
Yeah. I think you don't think that's sweet, the way he protects the kids, like in the Wolverine and the X-Men? I
do, but I don't. Okay, here's where I buy it, actually, is in the Ultimate Universe. At the very beginning of the Ultimate X books, right after Wolverine flips from working for the Brotherhood to actually working for the X-Men, he gets into battle, and one of the things he's shrieking as he's busy shredding people is he's like, someone cover Kitty's eyes. Oh my God, cover Kitty's eyes. Covers Kitty's eyes. And that, to me, felt a lot more natural and a lot more organic within the context of the story than the entire Wolverine Jubilee relationship ever did.
Yeah, but I always loved the mentor relationship he had with Kitty in the sort of Paul Smith era of the X-Men.
Well, kind of like in the movies with Rogue, where it's clear it's clear that he is a mentor. And to me, this is what...
Actually, the problem with the movies is he and is Hugh Jackman and Anna Paquin had crazy off-the-screen like the chemistry just jumps off the screen. And then he's like, oh, Jean Grey. And you're like, no, really. I'm not buying it. I'm buying that you are much more interested in just hanging out with Rogue for 5 minutes, even in a I can't wait for you in 20 years type of way.
I love the couple times where that... God love him. I loved him in the Robot and Frank movie, but that Cyclops guy drives me crazy. I want him to be such a better Cyclops. And you could totally see where he comes down and he's being all that guy. And
they needed a cheap and good looking actor, but the problem is they cast about 15 years too young.
I heard rumors about why he's in those movies.
Uh-oh.
You heard rumors?
Is it because he's super
funny?
Yeah,
I've heard the exact same rumors.
Yeah. But you see Jean Grey given Wolverine much more interesting looks than she's given Scott.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing with Cyclops and the way that they characterized him in that movie was kind of the the Bradley Cooper jerk frat guy that he played for the first couple years of his career
in the Wedding Crashers. Bradley Cooper was kind of your Rohypnol date.
Yeah, he's the Rohypnol date with eye beams, and that I don't, like that.
What a terrible idea. You're getting sleepy? Guy. Let me adjust my visor.
To somehow,
please tell me this was all a hex spell. That was no hex spell. That was pure Summers.
To somehow link us back to the topic. The mischaracterization from the movies is actually one of the things that I thought about when I thought about I think there's a fair amount of mischaracterization in House of M itself. But before we jump all the way off of the movies and Wolverine as a mentor, the thing I wanted to throw in is I think that the way that people initially thought of Wolverine, those of us who've been around, you know, since before the year 2000, was the Weapon X, you know, man turned into a weapon of destruction and death, and struggling with that and trying to be a civilized human being. That was a lot of what characterized a bunch of the early Wolverine and why he was such a badass and all this other stuff. And around the time they introduced Jubilee, that was when they started moving him more toward the, he's got that stuff in his past and he wants to try to make sure that the kids that he's around don't have to see that kind of stuff or experience that kind of stuff as an absolute last resort. You know, they shouldn't have to see the kind of blood and gore and everything that he's been covered in for most of his life.
I didn't realize that was Black Cat, who's my comic book girlfriend. But now, like, I read that thing all the
actually,
way through.
Actually, it isn't.
Black Cat. It's a body decoy double or whatever.
No. Black Cat's Felicia Hardy. But go on.
Sir. Jason.
Oh,
it's your show. It's your show.
I just looked up Greg Land, and now I know what you're talking about because I know that art. The guy who it's just the one girl over and over again with
one
facial
over
expression.
Over again,
B, cut this out, and A, go Google for Greg Land O face.
Yeah, okay, the way excellent. That he draws women, they all have just
they just,
have just
they're
started
excited to discover saying, fellatio
saying word,
is coming.
Yeah,
it's fellatio face.
Yeah. Yep. No, I knew as soon as I Googled it, I was like, oh yeah. I know that art.
There used to be a forum thread on Something Awful where they found some of the source material for the photorealism.
It's called Pamela Sue Anderson.
A friend of mine, a cosplayer friend of mine, a picture that a professional photographer took of her in costume as Dark Phoenix got ripped off for the cover of some IDW comic. Mm. And she had this whole like back and forth with the artist, and they were like,
that's
no,
really
I
frustrating.
I don't know what you're
talking about. Could you send me a link to a high resolution photo of that? Just for my own anger?
Boy, you could probably Google for it. Well, you bring up cows, and all I can think about is the bit from Secret Invasion about the Skrulls still being angry that back in the day, Reed Richards mind controlled some Skrulls to turn themselves into cows. And
once again, Reed Richards is the worst.
God,
always.
What a jerk! In Marvel editorial meetings, can we just have Reed Richards punch Sue? No, we already have Ant-Man doing that to Wasp.
I'd like to see a remake of, I'm not going to say it. But if you were going to remake, just for the sake of argument, if you're going to remake Rayman today, I would cast either Reed or Hank Pym or possibly Dr. Manhattan. Because I think they have some serious emotional availability issues. I'm not glad he's dead, but I'm not that bummed.
I would... are people snoring?
No, I'm just... that's one of my least favorite hack style tropes of modern comics, that you can't have Reed Richards be interesting unless you make him debilitated with emotional stuntedness. You can't make him interesting unless he's a total jerk to everybody, even though that's totally contrary to the character for decades and decades and decades. I wish that editors wouldn't just simply decide to, we're going to flip a switch because we can't do subtle. We don't know how to create genuine moments. And the only way we can communicate with the emotions of our readership is by tipping an entire coastline into the ocean and pretending that any of that matters.
Well, you gave up on Hickman a long while back, right, Andy? You were not a big Hickman fan?
I'll qualify that by saying that it just didn't resonate with me.
Right, but what about Reed, sick Reed now? I mean, have you followed up with sick Reed now? And like, did you see the one where everybody
don't
left
listen
notes?
To the Inatco Almanac on 5x5?
That's the same, exactly. I won't get too deeply into that, but it's the same sort of problem where now he is once again lying to everybody about his health and the reasons why he's sending the family on this big, huge car trip.
Dangerous mission.
Even though there's absolutely no reason for him to lie about anything. The reason for him to lie is to create some very, very false tension inside that car, which wouldn't exist if unless the except for the writers claiming that it exists. I mean, there's no reason for him to do that, but of course you got to do that because, again, so otherwise
dramatic,
you have to make dramatic tension out of simply people interacting with each other on a recognizable level. This is not in vogue right now.
Right.
The way that Marvel for a while has been pushing their super genius types, and I'm very much with Andy on this, in many respects, is that they have to be whatever version of autistic or on the Asperger's spectrum that they understand from the way that things have been reported in the media and the way that other people write about it, like they're geniuses about it, because anybody who's remotely smart like that, well, they must have some sort of tragic flaw. So let's make it that they have a developmental disability, and that they're simply incapable of feeling human emotion, and that drives me absolutely nuts. Yeah. You know, the distance, I totally get it.
And they couldn't do that with Peter Parker, so they had to give him Otto Octavius instead to make him that same character. Oh yeah, though the rage. No, so we've been doing this for a while now. So the last I want to get a usable ending. So here is what I would like you guys who are more knowledgeable than me to talk about. Ooh, Purple Hulks.
Just wait.
Do not give them ideas.
Wow.
Do not give them ideas.
Polka dot Hulk.
They've got a rainbow of rings over in the DC universe. You might as well have a rainbow of Hulks where each different.
They're getting close.
Hulk has a different.
They got the red Hulk. A yellow Hulk comes
Hulk
next.
Rainbow.
And did they have a variation like a gray Hulk back in the.
Oh, yeah. Yep. The first Hulk was Mr. a gray Hulk.
Well, they also had.
Oh, and Mr. Fix It, right?
Yeah. And then if you ever read the Earth X series, I believe Hulk is separated out between his Hulk self and a little boy named Bruce who rides on his back, and he's this disturbing shade of gray too. So
in mainstream continuity, he was separated into two separate beings too. The original Gray Hulk was actually a coloring error, and then they retconned it later on as he changed somehow, and then they made it a whole thing.
Well, it's like if you see the original art for Bobby Frost, and it's this formless snowy blob. It's not until much, much later that they just turn him into a human being who happens to be made of ice. So
Rainbow Hulk, his catchphrase is "Make me happy. You'll like it very much when I'm happy."
Yes.
And then he turns into a rainbow guy with flowers and unicorns.
Throws candy to all the children.
I'm going to trademark that one. Rainbow Hulk. That's mine.
Right, that's gold, Jason. When you get your pitch meeting at Marvel,
Rainbow Hulk.
That's a great My Little Pony crossover.
Don't lead with that because they're probably going to dismiss your first one just automatically. Mm-hmm. So that should be your second
Rainbow
one.
Hulk.
And you want to bookend it with two because that is the goal. That is the chewy fudgy.
Smithers, get me Greg Pak's low cost Mexican equivalent.
Yeah, well, that's where I was headed. So it's
the journey, Merlin.
It is the journey.
Sorry,
and it's a meandering journey.
Sorry, you guys. By the way, Magneto can't move a fork. So, I'm sorry. I thought we were going to do all the spoilers.
Let's just do all of them at the end, and then we'll just go start. We'll go backward in time. You have to listen to this podcast backward to not be spoiled.
Well, it doesn't help that the Wikipedia page for House of M says the universe where House of M takes place is designated as Earth 58163. And I saw that and I thought, no, it was the regular Marvel universe and then it turned back. But no, it's got its own designation. And
well, it's what they did with 16, but they did that with the Marvel 1602.
Yeah, the Neil Gaiman. Yeah.
The Neil Gaiman, where they basically wave their hands at the end of that and say, oh, this universe can't possibly work. So we're just going to put it in a bottle and then Uatu can keep it as like a weird terrarium with spinoffs.
He's so creepy.
Yeah. What was that?
I said he's so creepy. I feel like sometimes, like if you know, like what if Rogue decides to go to Burger King instead of McDonald's, that constitutes like a different universe. When I first went to the Marvel Wikia site, I was like, oh, you know, I want to bone up a little bit on Magneto. I'd gotten the Testament book, and I was like, you know, Magneto is such an interesting character. The character that Dan Benjamin would like to be, I would know it. But I went first. First, I had to.
Wow.
Yeah, he was just worried he'd be the leader. But
misunderstood terrorist.
I went and I trawled through, and first thing, you got to get to the page. You have to choose which Doctor Strange or which Magneto from which universe you want to learn about. And there was like 35 of them.
Oh my gosh, yeah. If you ever get the chance to read Age of Apocalypse, where it's Magneto with this crazy Sean Connery in Highlander-type ponytail, married to Rogue, and carrying on the work of Charles Xavier, it's that one is delightfully insane.
Is that where Angel gets messed with? Or is that earlier than that?
I believe...
That was a longer time ago.
It's where everybody gets messed with.
There's like breeding pits, and Scott Summers has got this crazy I was in Whitesnake style hairstyle, and the Guthries are there's literally like an army of Guthries that work as concentration camp security guards, and it's been a couple of years since I read it, but the influence of Rob Liefeld, how do you say
Liefeld?
That? Liefeld,
because he's the Lord of Lies.
Anyway, his influence is all over the art, and the plot is incoherent to the point of nonsense. But it's basically when Charles Xavier dies, a despot grinds the world under his heels and uses mutants as his own personal attack force when he's not busy rounding them up and sticking them into pits, and he hates humans as well, because what mutant doesn't hate humans? And Can we talk about the Pietro and Wanda relationship for a bit?
Are we going to go into Donnie and Marie territory?
Well, it's a little bit Wes Anderson. It's a little bit Tannenbaum.
It's only they're not dressed as well. And
well, come on, he's got like a lightning bolt down
Lisa,
his front.
Lisa, do you know how many people I would have slain to have hair like that in 1983?
Pietro's hair?
Are you kidding me? I couldn't make it do anything. It was just flat.
Oh my God! No, my daughter, who is 2.5, was looking at the House of M with me tonight. When we got to Magneto, she said, "Who's she?" And I said, "That's a man." She goes, burn. "That's a girl. That has hair." So,
Dazzler, who everybody hates, has a TV.
No,
yes,
no,
yes.
How
oh,
no?
Darian, hooray!
I love Dazzler.
Oh, maybe Dazzler.
Shut up.
Oh my God! Oh,
maybe Dazzler and Hank Pym can get a comic together, and they can have ants that turn music into ruining a comic. Anyway,
I love how Hank Pym is a jerk, like even in alternate universes.
He is so on the spectrum.
When I was reading The House of M, and I'm like, of course Hank Pym is a total knob, and of course he's like, I'm a terrorist. I have my big boy bombs. Yep.
Beast starts monologuing. Beast monologues for like 4 pages. It's ridiculous.
There's never an alternate universe where Hank Pym is like well adjusted and not ringing his girlfriend's bell.
Nobody likes an emotionally unavailable wife beater. Let's be honest.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, there's never going to be a universe where he's like, I'm professionally successful and I'm respected and I'm well adjusted. It's always going to be, I'm kind of a slimy loser and I'm going to do something stupid because my ego is enormous.
Lisa,
and
you haven't read Age of Ultron, have you?
No, I really need to.
There's some nice Hank Pym in there, I'll just say.
Yeah,
seriously? How many digital comics services and subscriptions and apps am I required to have to keep up with this stuff?
3.
Well, you can. Well, you're not required with anything.
Well,
I mean, really, really, it's.
No, I'm.
Any comic zeal for your CBRs and CBZs, whatever those are.
Whatever those are. I don't know what those are. Merlin, I have 7 of them for you.
Yeah, I have. I'm looking at a screen with 53 items in it right now.
I don't do that anymore.
But
he led the West Coast Avengers.
Have you guys seen the Hawkeye Project?
Yeah.
Where oh my
Hawkeye
God,
poses as
poses in all the lady comic.
All the lady poses.
I'd like to see him as Deadpool as Jean Grey. That would serve me well at sea. But
wow, that's an extraordinarily subtle reference. I love it.
All right, thanks, Lisa. I was just thinking, boy, this has been a long time. Lisa, I'm surprised Lisa's still here. So yeah,
and now you know why. I'm All right,
bye. Oh.
I probably ought to duck out too.
It's because it's too late.
I do have a couple hours of work.
Late.
Yes.
Oh God, Andy's on the East Coast.
Yes, he is.
He's in even worse shape than
Andy.
I am.
It's nice that you're here, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Any excuse to talk about comics with Jason, and then when I saw, oh my God, Merlin's going to be there. I got to be there.
He's talkative and doesn't know anything. That'll be fun.
Meanwhile, I'm the chopped liver of the week.
Yeah.
Everybody
loves
come
Jason
on.
And Merlin.
My God.
You're the glue, man. You're the glue. You're holding us together. You're the center of all of this.
I've got to get back on the productivity train now that I'm not as sick as I was. And
God, I have literally nowhere to be. This is
I don't
either. No, I'm serious. Could you just, if you would, Jason, I don't
know. Just do a one-on-one, you and me.
No, you can go. You got a Jason, job in a magazine.
Could you like keep a ticking like wind-up clock near the microphone and just leave it just so that
I'm just
Verlin
gonna
could
take
listen
right
to
here.
It and, like it's the I'll heartbeat
take this of House of M and go through a page at a time.
No more mutants.
God, McGinnis.
No more. I said no more mutants.
He can't move the fork. Isn't that sad?
He can't move the fork.
I'm here and available for an After Dark if that can happen.
Well, it sounds like you need to wrap it up, Jason.
I think it's happening right now. Well, I could talk for 5 or 10 more minutes. Andy's going to have to go because he's going to pass
out.
Yeah,
I'm going to stop recording now, and I will make sure that you get that toot sweet.
Let's save it for another one. You know, we've done a lot here.
I think
we've helped a lot of people.
We have. We've learned. We've grown as people.
I think we've learned a lesson about love.
Yes.
Am I wrong? Was that not basically what happened in every?
I think
80s
so.
And Lost
special episode.
Well, it's Spider-Man. Steven Soderbergh did this really great state of cinema talk that the San Francisco Film Festival convinced him to allow them to post the video of it. And just toward the end of it, he's talking to aspiring filmmakers. He says, whatever it is, whatever great thing or piece of crap you're pitching in that room, stop in the middle of what you're saying at some point, as if you've had an epiphany, and say, you know what? This movie, at its core, is about hope. And that's how you get a movie funded.
Boy, that's great. In so many ways, they get to feel like they were there at the genesis, that arguably their attendance at that meeting is what helped this genius. Wow.
That dentist goes home to his wife and says, you know what? This guy, he's the next Orson Welles. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
The man is a genius.
What I do tonight, honey, I saved hope.
Moises, I just realized something.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's really all about hope.
This really is all about hope.
We should do a podcast about hope.
I don't like
when people are mean to hope. I really like hope.
I missed my chance when Andy did that whole thing about the soup. I had a great line there, and I didn't get to get it in about how the next great Brian Michael Bendis comic will be about somebody eating having soup.
just eating soup.
A whole
over
issue.
Doctor Strange narration boxes.
It will be Doctor Strange eating soup.
Who will pencil it?
When I first came into possession of the eye,
it'll be Greg Land.
No,
round soup mouth.
No, it's going to be Stuart Immonen.
Because
they work well together, and it's going to be Doctor Strange eating soup that is served to him by a figure we don't see exactly who the waiter is, and that'll be
if it's a man or a woman.
That'll be a revelation in the very last panel.
He'll keep referring to Wong, and you'll think it's Wong, and then at the end, it's Baron Mordo, and he's been mind controlling Doctor Strange the whole time.
That's why it's called You Are Wong the whole time. And then he holds up his hands in that fruity rock horns way.
And it's called Soup du Jour Part 1.
You defend people who you defend hope to people who hate on her. I defend Doctor Strange's heavy metal rock and roll horns.
Can I just say that I at my last visit to my comic shop, I was asking for a good place to start, and they were struggling a little bit to figure out, like, he seems like a toughie. I've got the season one, but like Moises, I know you're a fan, like, and we should all urinate now. Where's a good jump? Is there a TBB that I should jump into? Is there something? Do I have to go back to the beginning? Is there like a golden age I can jump into? Because I love his role in all of these. I love the fact, and I loved him in Illuminati. Fuck you guys. I thought in Illuminati
he was so great.
He was so great as like he was funny, and yeah. And then there's the one scene where they're like, how do we know? And they're like, you have the most powerful mutant in the world here.
He's the king of shooting people down with cosmic logic of, well, I mean, catch me if I'm talking out of turn here, but I do save the universe 7 days a week, twice on weekends. Maybe I'm out of line here, but blah, 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 blah.
I don't want to be a dick, but...
I mean, but while I'm being a dick, I might as well be the biggest dick I can be. And just everybody goes, yeah, I think that makes sense. Right. Let's go.
The hoary host of Hoggoth.
Watch out, you guys. He's doing that fruity hand thing.
No.
Okay, so no, where do we put this? Do we need a title?
I'm gonna say goodnight to the guys on the jackals and the thing. Goodbye, guys. Thank you for listening. Good night.
Jackals, good night. I am now encased in the crimson bands of Sitarak.
Bova. Bova is a human cow hybrid created by the High Evolutionary.
High Evolutionary, yes.
Bova is somewhat of a professional nursemaid, having in large part single-handedly raised both Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch at Wundagore Mountain.
Yeah.
Wundagore.
So it's German for wonder.
Nice mountain. Ryan Bendis loves meetings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was going to look at the show, but
that could be truncated to Bendis loves meetings.
Bridget loves Bernie.
Yeah. No more Merlins.
No more Merlins. Everything's coming up.
Is it that bad, really?
No.
No. Nature's first Hulk is gray.
Are you ripping me because you like me or because you hate me?
I'm not even ripping you.
I'm so angry right now. Okay. So I will just send
you. But not literally.
I will send you. You should listen to my Roderick on the Line show. I will send you.
Are you roguing me?
Am I roguing you?
No, you were. I title suggested it. Oh, is that you?
Yeah, I'm stealing your. I'm janking your name more.
Ouch.